Good evening, I'm Paul Mears, and welcome to another edition of Penalty Spot in association with the Barbados Football Association. Coming up on today's program, a new date for the Barbados Football Association elections confirmed. BFA President Randy Harris and her team will discuss the latest developments. It's down to the final eight in the Champions League. Our team of Kevin Branch, Kenneth Onikwe, Ronaldo Jones, Nick Maitland standing by with their previews. And the national player Soraya Tobin-Herbert talks about her new book, Through My Eyes. Penalty Spot, in association with the Barbados Football Association. And welcome back to the program. Good evening to all. Good evening to Curtis. I see most of our team is in already. Ronaldo Jokes is in. Curtis is there and nestled between them. Soraya Tobin-Herbert. Kevin Branch is also there. And I believe Randy Harris has also joined us. Or is also joining us very shortly. Good evening to the team. Good evening, Curtis.
Good evening to you, Paul. Good evening to all of our listeners. As per usual, we're taking your calls 434-1790. Also, your emails, 18sports246 at gmail.com, as we take another look at the world of local, regional, and international football. Of course, as you mentioned, internationally, the big stories today, Champions League football, Europa League football, Manchester United into the next round, courtesy another penalty. Kenneth Onikwe somewhere in the background saying Manchester United, as he's famously dubbed them. They've had great luck with penalties over the past few weeks. On the local scene, the BFA elections, as you would have heard since, I believe it was Saturday, Sunday, have been postponed. New date, September 6th. Nominations will now close, I believe it's August 22nd, and we have a new nomination process. So the first set of nominations has been voided, and we have a new nomination process. And the latest release, Paul, from the BFA, it says, following a decision taken by the general body by the meeting on August 6th, the clubs are asked to note that the nominations committee has been selected and will comprise of the following persons: Eric Smith, Clifford Gooding-Edgell, Terry Seeley, Chris Donowa, and Edwin Wood. Of course, Edwin Wood is the BFA's general secretary and would have administered the process before this new team was announced. And the nominees are reminded that the nominations are open for the following positions: President, Senior Vice President, Junior Vice President, Senior Assistant Secretary, Junior Assistant Secretary, Treasurer, Assistant Treasurer, and five executive members. Nominations close on Friday, August 21st, and you must get your nominations in on or before 4. No excuses this time around. Everyone, Paul, now has to be aware. Five people now taking charge of the process. There can be no complaints. There can be no queries. See, Terry Seeley is listed there as well. And new process. I spoke to BFA President Randy Harris immediately after the meeting. And he says there was the possibility, you know, that he could be challenged for the presidency as well. We expect to hear some more from him tonight. Originally, of course, he was not being challenged for the position. But, well, it's a story that keeps on going. And new election date now, Paul, September 6th.
Well, as you say, all of the offices up for nomination now. I think in the last round, the only one who was not challenged was that of the president. So yeah. I'm wondering if Ronaldo or Kevin have put in their nomination for that post. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. Good to see you.
Likewise. I was looking at the BFA elections. I was following this story, actually, and personally, I don't know if the president is on yet, but...
Yes, he is.
Right. Randy, how are you doing, sir? Anyway, but...
I'm fine. Thanks.
Right, good, no problem. PV, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening to you, the first time we've seen you. Now, with BFA elections, I didn't really follow the story as I should, but I think for PC, I think this is probably the way to go, right? Because I know the president as a guy, he doesn't like confusion at all, right? So just get it over and done with. Let's get moving. We got World Cup qualifiers coming up. We got a lot of things coming up. So that's my take on it.
Ronaldo, quickly before we bring the president.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Kevin. I think it's the best process. I think that the president utilized his wisdom and experience over 4 years experience. So he would have seen it all really in football. So I believe he did the best thing. And as he rightfully said, the members, as he usually say, the members make it the FA. So if the members aren't happy, then the FA can't be happy. And I think he did the best thing by having a transparent and an objective committee used to settle the destiny nomination process. So I think it was a wise decision.
Good evening, Randy.
Good evening to you and all of your guests.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. It seems as I'm the only body challenging you for presidency.
We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Let's start with the process. You met with the clubs last week. We know the discussions we had last Monday. Talk us through the process now. What happened?
Well, as I said, the clubs took the correct action. They used the organs of the BFA to call for a meeting to express their concerns about the matter of nomination. We had a very good meeting, and basically we have come to a decision that everyone is happy about.
And I'm sure that the clubs very much happier now. And the process then, come from now until the elections in September. Talk to us about that.
Okay, we have selected a nomination committee. I believe that was another good stroke to make, because it gives transparency to the process. The committee comprises of Eric Smith, Chris Donowa, Clifford Gooden-Edgell, Terry Seeley, and with the General Secretary Edwin Wood collating and making sure that everything is available and going smooth.
Question, Randy, someone is asking, how was the 5-member committee selected?
Well, it was a matter for the BFA to do. We discussed it at the meeting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving forward now, nominations opened the night of the meeting. To your knowledge, have any been received as yet?
Yeah, there were a few persons who came in and asked for the nomination papers. I believe some of them may have took some for their colleagues too.
Okay, if memory serves me right, one of the issues with the nomination process in terms of some of the applications being deemed void was them being incorrectly filled out. Is there a process now for the clubs to review perhaps the nominations before handing them in, or was that discussed as well at the meeting?
Well, there are two things. First of all, we have made the nomination form much easier.
Okay.
To understand, it's just a matter of filling out the information. And two, the BFA has learned that we must assist the people with the nominations if they have a problem. I think that was one of the main things. And I am one that worked hard to rebuild some credibility within the organization, and anything that will keep our credibility intact and transparency, I would be happy to be a part of.
It seems to me at least that following the meeting, we have reached, I would say, level ground. I spoke to you immediately afterwards. You were happy and satisfied. I've read that Terry Seeley and our friend from Beverly Hills, Paul, remember the name. Ali Rochester. Yeah, they're both happy with the outcome. Would you say now, moving forward up until the election, that all the parties are satisfied now with the entire process?
Well, yes. We have heeded to their suggestions and requests. And obviously, I'm happy and confident that the process from now on should be amenable to everyone.
Question coming in, agentsports246@gmail.com. Will the 5-member committee or a 5-member committee Will this be now the way forward, or was this a special case for this particular election?
No, well, it is a special case because our statutes don't call for it. But okay. I am hoping that the executive of the Barbados Football Association at the next annual general meeting will bring a resolution to put a nominations committee in place so that we don't have a recurrence of this sort of situation.
Okay. Yes, Paul.
You know, in a move like this, Randy, when you have the election date set and so on, is this a case where I'm not familiar with the process, so you can guide me, where you have named a new
I miss you there for a minute, Paul.
Yeah, I think we've lost Paul for a minute. Paul, you may need to repeat the question. We lost you for a moment.
Is this a case where you would have to refer back to CONCACAF at any stage there? In addition to the process, having gone back to the clubs now, gone back to the nomination and the election process, is it a case where you have to go back, you had to, you know, refer back to CONCACAF or CFU or anyone in a situation like that?
No, this is straightforward. Our customers, which are the member clubs, they had an issue that was bothering them. They called for a meeting. We had the meeting. We've come to a resolution. Of course, I would notify CONCACAF and FIFA about the situation because they were well aware of what was happening, and obviously we have to let them know that there have been some changes. There's no problem with that. We just notify them of the new date and what has transpired.
Another question coming in via the email 18sports246@gmail.com, or you can WhatsApp Paul or myself. I'm sure everyone knows where to find us. Once again, the email again, 18sports246@gmail.com, or you can reach us via the studio line 434-1790. This one says, hi, good evening, team. In the event that, let me paraphrase, that Randy is no longer the president, will he continue as CFU president and CONCACAF vice president? Randy?
Yes, those are two positions that I can retain. Okay. Some people usually resign sometimes from the MA.
Okay.
But there's no need to do that at this time. Maybe if I was CONCACAF president.
And of course, when I spoke to you, you were still confident of retaining the support of the BF, the clubs, but you also said that in the instance that they decided they want to go in another direction, you would be happy and abide with that decision as well.
The thing about it is that I have made some sacrifices. I am happy of where the football in Barbados is at the moment. I think I have some more work to do, but if the clubs do not think that way, I'm sorry, but it means that they don't have the confidence that they should have at this time in me. I don't see a problem with that, but I am here to serve, and the only reason I am here is because I have a vision for football, and basically I think we are progressing in a very positive way.
I have another one coming in, Paul, and then I'll let you pose a question. This one says, good evening. I passed the turf recently and saw some activity on the outside. They were querying what it is. I believe that it would relate to the grass pitches, Randy, that are being excavated. Yes. So some more development on stream. I know you had mentioned that when you first assumed the office, you weren't even sure, but then it became clear that the land to the east of the turf also belongs to the BFA. So some turf and grass as well now for the immediate future for the BFA.
Well, the situation there is that it was looking kind of untidy, and we have a plan. The plan is to clear it as we did and look to develop it into a grass pitch. It will have it will give us a number of opportunities for further development. Number one, we can have some of our youth games played at that venue. And two, now that the national team is in serious training, and we may have to play persons with grass fields, it gives us that opportunity to give them a proper playing field on which to practice.
In terms of the protocols, Randy, that you mentioned that the association will have to develop in terms of whenever the season, you know, can get football rolling again. What's the status of that? Any way forward on it?
We have protocols, but at the moment, while we can manage the safety and health of a national selection, it will be much more difficult to manage competition because there'll be other teams involved. And basically, we don't want to put our players and officials at risk. When the time comes, we'll be assured that we can play a competition. I'm still hoping that before the end of the year, we can play some sort of tournament that would encompass all of our teams in a elimination kind of format. But at this time, we are still playing it safe because we don't want to create any problems at Wilde or any other venue where football is being played.
I know you recently had a meeting with the new Minister of Sport. How did that go?
Well, as all meetings with ministers of sports go, we are looking for some good things happening. As you know, we want to encourage people to come to Barbados to train, especially now after COVID. We are trying to upgrade our facilities up there so that we can attract colleges and teams, other clubs, to come to Barbados to prepare themselves for the seasons. It will also give our players an opportunity to play against teams from outside of the country. But we are looking at ways to see if we can bring people into Barbados to prepare themselves and have a look at the island. You know, we make lasting impressions, especially for young people. And there are also schools and colleges in the UK that do a lot of traveling with their sports teams, both cricket and football. And we just want to be ready if the opportunity arises so that we can make a proper contribution to the game of football and also to our country.
Has the COVID break, Randy, impacted the development plan that you, I'm sure you would have, you have in place for the venue
in terms of
timeline?
Of course. Well, the national team has their program, and it was suspended. So immediately, we were at a bit of a disadvantage, although not really, because the other countries, they shut down also, and basically it has affected our preparation. We are behind where we thought we would be at this time.
In terms of the actual venue itself, you know, that development that you had there, I know you had some timelines in terms of some of the things that you would have mentioned before with the developing the venue. How has it impacted that in particular?
Well, because of the COVID, we have had a delay with Canada Systems, who do the seating and the press box and etc. So they are the main people, because what we want to do this time is to have changing rooms under the bleacher stands. So that the teams would be a lot more comfortable. And obviously, if we get two more dressing rooms, we'll be up to standard, and we'll be able to play three games every weekend in a more comfortable atmosphere.
Did I hear you say a press box?
Yeah, we have to take care of you. We have to take care of you, you know. We can't always cuss you because you all promote the game, look after us, you know. And really and truly, as football leaders, we have to understand that sometimes there can be nice times where the press is able to uplift us, and at other times we have to answer. So that is quite okay. We have to make sure that you are comfortable because you're all really spread the game all over and make people aware of what is happening in Barbados.
I think we all got the same motive. We all want to see football go forward in whatever way we can. Any questions from the other gentlemen on the team?
I had one for Ronaldo. Ronaldo, you're in a unique position where you are a head coach of one of the Premier League clubs, also an elite BFA coach as well. What's the view from the club level of the delay in the elections, new dates, new nomination process? I know Wales was pretty intimately involved in the entire process and hearing some concerns. How has the move been accepted by the club?
Well, I can't really give an answer for that per se. Knowing I've just arrived at Wales, I'm not as involved as I was at Notre Dame okay. as it relates to the administrative element of it. So from a technical perspective, is where I mostly have my input. But from having my ears on the ground, I know a lot of clubs, they're keen to have the AGM rescheduled. I think it's because a lot of them had some misconceptions. You know, a lot of them weren't aware or educated about the whole process of stuff. So I think the meeting allowed some clarity to take place. I think a lot more members are now taking heed to the statutes that have been mentioned numerous times by President Harris and the General Secretary, Mr. Wood. So I think that having the AGM put back gives them a bit more time to do some research or revision, for lack of better words. So from my end at Wales, as I said, I'm not that much involved in the administrative part of things. So that's all I could give you for this point, Curtis.
Before you go,
Curtis, I think I could answer it though.
Yeah, Randy.
I think not only Wales, but all the clubs are happy at the development coming out of the meeting. I had a discussion with a very senior person, and they are satisfied with what has happened. Basically, the time has come now for us to move forward as a team.
Okay, we had some queries about the Soccerama as well, PB. Any official results there? I was to make a call earlier so I could provide some results, but it slipped me altogether.
Not offhand. Kent is the general coordinator for it all. Okay. But what I can say that the interest has been quite high. However, we have to manage the numbers and also not just of players, but also the spectators that come on the venue.
Yeah.
As we want to stay within line of the COVID protocols. But this weekend we wanted to introduce a masters category, which would have been on the Saturday, but due to the inclement weather, we weren't able to. But what I can say to you is that there's a group called All In, and over the last 2 weeks, they would have won both of the senior Soccerama competitions, and they have a number of familiar faces. What we also introduced this week was a youth category. When I say youth, it's like 15 to 18, mm-hmm. and that was won by a group of players primarily from like the Ivy Sports Council area. So they're not actual teams, but they're a group of individuals, I guess, friends who come together and they're the ones who participate in within the event.
Of course, we're speaking about the Soccerama at the Kickstart facility. And I believe for the last two weekends, I believe it is, 15 to 20, I believe, and then Masters. So Paul could have a kick around. See, yeah, Kenneth is here as well. Kenneth can stretch a leg.
15 to 20, Curtis?
Mm-hmm. 15 to 20, and then Masters.
Yeah, Curtis, yeah. In between that, right? So there's the 15 to 20-ish category, and then in between that and the Masters, there's like the what we call the open category, where you have more of the guys who are into the competition, guys that play divisional football. Okay. Like I said, there are a number of guys who frequent Premier League that are featured within the open category, if you want to call it that. But there's still room for you and Paul to join up with the squad.
So I stick to my original statement then, 15 to 20, and then Masters, everybody qualifies. Good night to you, Kenneth. You need to put the ball between the uprights, though. We still have that video footage, that glaring miss from Point Blank Rage. But more on that later. Of course, Kenneth Onyekwe has joined us to speak about the goings on in Europe. I am happy that Borussia Dortmund is out. I am sure Randy's happy as well, because that means Mr. Havertz is no longer employed or engaged by his team. And that transfer to Chelsea can hopefully happen very, very soon. But more on that to come. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, before we get there, I want to bring in Soraya Toppin Herbert to join us. So good to have a lady on this evening. Good evening, Soraya. Soraya has just launched her first book, I believe it is, entitled Through My Eyes. Not sure if Randy has his copy as yet, but I'm sure Soraya will give us.
Not yet.
That is it. You have to get it soon, Randy. Okay. Very soon. Signed copy also. Soraya, tell us all about it. How did it all come about?
Yeah, well, obviously with COVID-19, there's been a lot of time to do a lot of reflection and things like that. So I've been using my time to do that along with running my organization, 34 Sports Inc. So through that reflection, there were just a couple areas that really stood out to me in terms of my journey and the things that I would have gone through. So I just really penned really reflections on those things, and then some lessons that I would have learned from those areas. So in the book, I'm looking at kind of my journey from Barbados to the US and how that really, and some of the things I would have gone through while living in the US. I had some injuries and different things that happened. So the book really covers, you know, the faith journey, dreams, having dreams, stepping into those dreams, being patient with yourself and with situations, which really the example that I used, I reflected on, was the injuries that I would have had through my football career, quite a few, the lessons that I would have learned through those. And then I also looked at being uncomfortable. So in terms of just moving overseas at the age of 15, like that was just uncomfortable in itself. But I looked at the beauty of being uncomfortable and the things that come out of those situations. And then I wrapped it up with, you know, about worth and really taking the time to discover your self-worth and holding others accountable to what you value about yourself. So that's really quick summary about what the book is about, but just really to inspire people, empower people through the things that I would have gone through, that I would have had, to help young sports people, just young people in general, when they come across things in their life, give them some tips, some feedback on ways that they can get through those things. But it's also relevant for adults as well. It can be relatable to any phase of life. So that's a little bit about the book.
How long?
And go towards funding. The proceeds from the book go towards funding Rare 34 Inc., where we work with young people, primary school, secondary school, usually student athletes, getting them prepared for life outside of sports.
How long did it take to put this all together?
I'd probably say between writing it and editing, probably took about maybe a month. It's not a very long book, so that the writer wasn't necessarily very long, but in terms of just editing it and getting it to the point where I wanted to, that took a couple of weeks.
Okay, Soraya, I like the idea. Firstly, and most importantly for me, maybe you hear books and sports people, we normally get biographies and what once. You don't get it from the active perspective. You get it? Well, back in 1974, he was a good player. So kudos on that. We mentioned it earlier in the news today that we've been speaking to you, and I got one question repeatedly. Where is it available locally, and is it available on Amazon?
Yes, so it is on Amazon, Amazon Kindle. Working on the paperback copy, that will hopefully be available in the next couple of weeks, both locally and on Amazon. And then it's also available on my website on PDF format. And my website is 34sports.com. You can get there directly by going to rare34sports/through-my-eyes, and it'll take you right to the ordering page. And it takes pretty much every form of payment in terms of credit card, PayPal. You can get booked through that way.
I know you've been involved, as you said, in football from a very, very young age. I remember school days being on the national team and playing, and you always stood out. Would you say the process now from being a schoolgirl, and we're looking at the females in particular now, player, to the collegiate system is easier than when you would have first been one of the real pioneers of that step?
Yes and no. In terms of, yes, because the women's game has, so in order to really get into colleges overseas, you really have to be standing out. And because technology also has improved, so the recruiting process has changed, and those type of things have changed. My process to getting recruited was pretty different. I didn't do it from moved to the U.S., which is included in the book, and gone through that process of finishing high school in the States and playing for a club team there and doing tournaments there and then getting recruited.
Okay.
So in that sense, in terms of the level of competition that you have to go up against now, I'd say it's a little bit more difficult, but also say that it's easier in a sense that you have so many more resources than I would have had when I was growing up, or when the likes of like Gabby and Alyssa that also went overseas on scholarships, that we would have had when we were going through that process. Like, as I was mentioning before, in terms of technology making it harder, it also makes it easier because you don't necessarily have to go overseas now to play in tournaments. You can do a highlight reel and send it to a school, and you know, they might just watch that and say, and there you go, have a scholarship, or you're playing for a college team. But obviously there are some other things that go around the football and the sports that also impact you being able to get a scholarship.
So you're a writer now, running the business as well, still turning out of the Women's League. Maybe you have the post-COVID era, whenever that is, back in action, putting back on the boots. I know you mentioned some injury, but you're still pretty young.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, I haven't had any injuries recently. My body's been treating me well. I actually was pretty happy when we went to Jamaica last year for Olympic qualifying. My body surprised me, had no injuries coming out of that or going into it, so made it through all four games. From then, I my body's pretty healthy, feeling pretty good. So as you said, I'm pretty young, still have a couple of years in me, so we'll see how things go.
Yeah, hopefully.
Distance from Masters football, sorry. You have a long time.
Yeah, lots of space in there. And as we continue today's edition of Penalty Spot, of course, you can reach us 434-1780-18sports246@gmail.com, or you could reach Paul, myself, PB, for your questions as well. I'm sure the Shins and Boots posse know how they can reach Kevin as well. And before we step away from Sarai, Sarai, which team do you support internationally? We're about to transition to that next step. But beware, the answer to this question will determine if you can ever join us again on this show. Which team?
Oh boy, the pressure. I've been a Real Madrid fan for a very long time, but I say even more so now because they just got a women's team. So I'm even a bigger fan now because they have a women's team. So looking forward to follow.
I was probably like that. You don't see a Chelsea and you haven't. Thank you.
I think she's allowed to come back for. So yes, speaking of Real Madrid, exited the Champions League late last week. Bit of an upset against Manchester City. I think Real would have gone in as the favorites, Zidane and company. City not having the best season, but they reminded us guys why they are such a force to be reckoned with on their day. not as consistent this season as per usual. Kevin, I guess we can start with you. City out, Barcelona in, and then we can tackle the Europa League. But let's take a step back. Champions League, Real Madrid out, Zinedine Zidane. I think Kenneth posted this stat, losing his first knockout Champions League game in history. He has a tremendous record in the competition. But I think the absence of Sergio Ramos on the night was keenly felt in the rejigging of the defense and really two horrendous errors leading to Real being knocked out.
Right, Ron said he took blame. He said he would take the blame. I don't know. Kenneth may yell at me for this, but I think the City's best chance of winning the whole thing. But as I always say, as long as you got a ticket, you got a chance, because you got other teams there who are good too. Atalanta is a good shot. Leipzig is a good shot. City is a good shot. Everyone that's there, they have a shot, as far as I'm concerned. I know I like predicting games. Ronnie would tell you, I always sit on the fence, but football is played on the day.
That's you and Trevor Thorne, always on the fence. Good evening to you, Trevor. No time, no see. Yes, Kenneth.
I'm cautious. I think he's unmuted. Yeah.
Good evening, everyone.
Yes.
Good evening, Kenneth.
Good evening to our companion, Soraya. Thank you for treading very carefully and very diplomatically, staying out of the thorns and the obstacle course, and answering very diplomatically the first question that was posed to you. Welcome on board. Whomever has said that it is that Man City is the favorite for the Champions League perhaps does not understand the Champions League. Like Kevin said, it is one on the day. Man City does not have a good defense. That's a fact. But if they can go on the day and, try to diminish their defensive frailties and enhance their attacking prowess, they'll win. They have Lyon in the quarterfinals, so they have a good chance of going through. But if you watch the Lyon versus Juventus game, you would know that Lyon is a determined and very organized team. So if they can sort of get the kind of, remain disciplined and solid like they were against Juventus and get that bit of fortune, good fortune, they could have Man City in trouble as well. So I'd rather believe we should just sit back, enjoy the excitement. I know a lot of people feel that Bayern, they have a relatively good defense, but I'm not so sure of David Alaba in central defense. And his defensive partner is not also too solid. So it's all about who can, again, today Inter had problems today in the defense, but they were fortunate. It's all about who can go out there on the day, like Liverpool did against Tottenham in the final, cancel out any defensive errors. Look, how did Man City lose? How did Man City beat Real Madrid? It was two defensive errors. Benzema was having an incredible game. Real Madrid were playing 10 against 11 for the whole game, and they still managed to be competitive for 90 minutes plus. And two defensive errors, just like when Real Madrid faced Liverpool, two defensive errors cost them. And, of course, the fact that you have a player in your team named Sergio Ramos, whom is fantastic when he plays, and a big miss when he's serving his usual suspensions. So, good luck to Man City, but I feel they're going to have a very tough semi-final if they make it past Lyon.
We have Terry Seeley on the line, but before we head back locally and look at the election in some more context, question for you, Ronaldo. The defeat by Juventus, no Ronaldo passed this stage, and it's also cost Sarri his job at Juve. He's now been sacked back-to-back. He's been sacked by Chelsea, went to Juve, got the boot there as well. A bit of a knee-jerk reaction in Italy, or did he pay the price for really what was an unsatisfactory campaign? Still won the cup. But that was expected. But he seemed to get increasingly unpopular among the teams.
What happened at Chelsea? I mean, Kenneth will tell you, I think he was unpopular even before he got the job. When he was at Napoli, he made some comments that weren't so kind to Juventus. And then coming to a team like Juventus, after not, I would say, not really winning much, he won the Europa. But when you look at the style of play, that he's acquainted with, and then you compare that to what Juventus is or what is expected of Juventus, it was almost like a case of oil and water. They don't mix, you know. And then when you have, I know some people are saying that the board is to blame that they didn't provide the players for Sarri to use or whatever the case may be. But you go on to Juventus and you have arguably the best player in the world. You have players who have won the World Cup, players who have won Serie A. And I think winning Serie A is almost like a formality. He was brought in to go the next step. And having Ronaldo along with him was supposed to carry him beyond that next step. I think the tag that goes along with Sarri ball didn't go along quite well with the players that he had at Juventus. You know, he tried to play Dybala in a wide position to basically accommodate other players, more certainly so Higuain, who he grew fond with at Napoli. And I don't think that his Sarri ball and switching players in unfamiliar positions would have done well for Juventus. And somehow he paid the price for that at the end, being eliminated by Lyon, a team that finished seventh in French League, a team who hasn't played since March. I mean, I think everything was going in our favor leading up to that game. And just if I may add to about having a ticket, having a chance, I think the dynamics of the knockout stage of this Champions League puts everything up in the air. Traditionally, it's over two legs. Now you're playing one game. And as Kenneth mentioned just now, on the day, I saw the defensive solidity of Lyon, and I was impressed. Let's say on the day that they could take it all the way down to 120 minutes and favor their chances in a penalty shootout, who knows? You know, so I think the dynamics now, having to play just one game, switches up things a bit. I would love Lyon to go all the way, you know, having knocked me out. It would give me some kind of reprieve. I can say lose to the champions. But I am quite pleased that we have rid of Sarri. I'm not totally pleased of the appointment, but that's a story for another day, because just last week, Pirlo was supposed to be the under-23 coach.
Correct.
So he hasn't even completed his pro license. So I don't know. I have my reservations about it.
Yeah, I think that was a sentimental appointment even for the under-23s, but definitely I think he's going to be hard-pressed. You'll probably get the Frank Lampard grace period.
He only played the bottom end of his career at Juventus, you know. So I don't even know. It's almost like the Ferrara appointment. I don't know if Kevin or Kenneth will remember that when Ferrara came in 2009 or 10, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of sentiment involved. And he didn't last his full tenure. But Pirlo only came in at the back end. I read Marco, he was saying maybe, and he said maybe he could be a bit more player friendly, having played with some of them and getting the best out of Ronaldo and some of the others, but we'll just wait and see, man. It's one of those wait and see scenarios.
I think his benefit is that he knows what not to do. He knows he has to play attacking football. He knows he has to play attractive football, and that is what the Juve board and more likely the fans and players.
Or maybe he might be pulling the seat for Zidane to come next year. Who knows?
Who knows? Zidane is always cagey about his next step. But Real Madrid, I don't think we'll part with him very, very easily. Yes, Paul?
Yeah, I think we have Terry Seeley on the line. Good evening, Terry. Good evening, Terry. Welcome to Penalty Spot.
Terry, if you're still muted, you just need to unmute to join us, but we can see you in the box and ready to share your thoughts. Once again, 4341-780-18 Sports 246 at gmail.com. Let's try once again and say good evening to Terry Seeley. And I think we're missing.
I was thinking he was online, Curtis.
Yeah, I'm seeing him online, but I'm not hearing him.
In terms of telephone also.
Yeah, but we're going to try again in a moment. We're trying to get Terry Seeley to join us. Okay. Of course.
As soon as we get Terry started, we'll bring him in, get his perspective. We can continue the discussion.
Yeah, he was instrumental in the calls for the election to be.
You can give those two results from this evening. I know you already discussed. You already discussed Europa, but the Man U fans would love to hear it.
I know you're pretty acquainted, not recently, but you've been very well acquainted with that competition, Paul. But Inter Milan 2, Leverkusen 1. So Bayern Leverkusen are out. So Kai Havertz, as they said at the top, no longer in action. Come on over to Chelsea, son. We welcome you. And Man United getting past Copenhagen with another penalty. Kenneth Onyekwe, your thoughts on that as the United juggernaut rolls on? All things considered, though, let's be real. United have done better than most would have anticipated this season. Champions League secured, in with a shot at winning Europa. They have the most lethal front line in Europe. The stats confirm it. The front line is also very, very young. Some issues with the defense, some issues with the goalkeeper. That is not unique to them. I think lots of the top clubs, good goalkeepers and good central defenders are in short supply. And Kenneth and Kevin, well, United,
you know,
march on.
As usual, you know, when you speak about Man United and Arsenal, you come to the right person. The Arsenal guy gives you a very, very unbiased view of those two clubs.
Unbiased, you say?
You know, I mean, congratulations to Man United for their 21st penalty kick of the season. Well, I mean, it sounds like rugby. Again, another flop by Martial. But, you know, you have to give them kudos. They remain solid. And if you're not conceding, you have a chance of winning. So the fact that they remain solid throughout the 120 minutes, it's kudos to them. It's just third semi-final of the season. You know, you made them just sound like Arsenal for congratulating them for coming, placing third and being in that third semi-final. Good luck to them. They should continue with such records. But the Man United that I was scared of in the past was the Man United that won trophies. And hopefully they will fall short again this season, because they weren't too impressive in the game, even though they came out winners.
Kevin?
Right. I endorse Kenneth's comments. But I will tell you this, and it's a kind of damning criticism of me. Manchester United, like the West Indies team, living on past glory as far as I'm concerned. Because the days of tapping the watch, those aren't anymore. And I think Solskjaer is not really the guy to take no for, but they'll keep him. Again, I think it was more a sentimental appointment for him than anything else. And Fernandes is too good a player. I mean, yeah, we have guys who flop, but Fernandes is the king of flops as far as I'm concerned, right? How much penalties it was again? Kenneth?
21. 21.
21 penalties. Somebody somewhere really like that. And looking at that foul today, dicey. Because if you're in the penalty area, you're a striker, you're going to look for it. And I think inexperience of Copenhagen's defender too is what, you know, really caused it. But it is what it is. They're through. They had a job to do and they did it. It took them a long time to do it, but they got it done. If they can play whoever they have to play next, I think they're going to play is Inter. They're going to play, I can't remember who is going to play next, but they're there.
I have another one coming in. This one says, congratulations to Arsenal for winning the FA Cup. Yes, Arsenal defeating Chelsea, 2-1. The officials called into question in that one as well. It's been not a great season for VAR. I'm not a great fan, but congratulations to the Arsenal fans. Welcome to New Testament football fall. They've been stuck in the past for a while. And they've now graduated. So once again, congrats to all the Arsenal fans. Randy, we had a question for you quickly. Someone querying what is the latest on the Caribbean semi-professional league. I know when last we spoke, of course, COVID still hung heavily over that. Interregional travel, some issues with Liat. Any development since we last spoke?
The truth is that since COVID, because any Caribbean professional league is dependent on travel, right? And we have to look at and see how these new airlines that want to take up itinerary in the Caribbean, how they're going to operate. We have to make sure that we know how the teams will get around. If not, that is one of the main things. But COVID has really suspended in-depth discussion and agreement on how we should go forward. But there's a lot of help out there for it. And, you know, we'll continue to bite at it until we find something that is suitable for us here in the Caribbean.
Okay.
I believe, Curtis, we have Terry on the line. Good evening, Terry Seeley.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Welcome again to Penalty Spot.
Hi. Ben, good evening.
Okay. When last we spoke last week, you were making a case for the clubs. Things seem to have changed since then. Give us your thoughts.
Well, obviously, things would have changed. We have gotten what we asked for. And we are quite satisfied that we are moving forward in a positive direction. So we, at this stage, are happy with the outcome of the meeting so far.
And the clubs generally... Yeah. Go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, good evening to you, Terry. Will you be contesting any of the positions on the executive?
No, definitely not. I've been approached over and over, asked, but at this time, I am not ready for that. I have served on the executive from a very young age. I've put in more than 20-something years already serving as a council member, dating back from when I was still playing and representing Barbados. And I felt about 6 years ago that I've really exhausted myself with that. And I don't think I should want to be there if I don't believe I'm going to make a contribution just to hold up a space. So I prefer to give way to some new and young, you know, blood who want to come forward.
Mentioning the people who might want to come forward, are you satisfied that there are enough people, like as you described, willing to make a quality contribution to football?
I believe there are some bright sparks out there who can make a positive contribution to the executive and help the grow the football. I would wait and see who would put their names in. What this process would have done is to allow a lot of people who have been mentioning that they have an interest, they have the opportunity now to really put in the hard work. And, you know, canvas the clubs and see if they can get themselves onto the executive. I honestly believe, looking at the makeup of the present council, that there's room for change. I have to say that. I cannot hesitate from saying that. We really need some change. We need some new vision around the council. I would say this openly. I heard you ask the president a question not too long ago. If there is anyone going up against him, but I would say this, and this is my personal opinion. At this present time, I don't see anyone right now coming forward who will be in a position to challenge the president at this time. I think once the president continues to you know, stay focused, I think he should carry the football forward for another term. My concern is the makeup around the president, the strength, and I think we need to start to build looking at the future when the president step aside or move into higher office, that we have some people there who would have been groomed and ready to take the football forward. And I know for a fact we have a lot of people out there with the interest at heart with football. So I would just wait and see who come forward for the various positions. But I don't expect anyone to challenge the president. I believe all the other positions would be challenged, and which is good, which is really good for the football. If we can get all the other positions being challenged for people to want to serve, and that's a good sign when people want to serve, because if you look, Paul, before this, we only had about, I think, one senior position being challenged or two going into the election, which it had me a bit confused, and only about 20-odd clubs registered at the time. So I believe now we are going to see a full house, and we're going to see a lot of nominees coming forward.
All right, Terry. Well, thanks again. And I'm sure, as you said, you're happy with the outcome. And I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk to you again, maybe after the elections. But thanks for joining us and sharing your view. And I'm going to give you a question that Curtis likes to give. Which club do you support?
Liverpool.
Okay, I think that's the last time you're coming on this program.
Not because you win, though, Terry. Not because you win the league.
Wow. Well, Pauline, it's going so well. Thanks a lot, Terry. Good to hear from Terry Seeley and all the clubs involved. I think, Paul, you're going to have a pretty high voter turnout for the election. And given everything that has gone on, I think, yeah, we're going to have a good general meeting once again. September 6th election, the nominations close on the 21st, like 4 in the evening. So, guys, you have no excuse not to get your nominations in as we head towards the long-awaited BFA general election. Interesting, Paul, to hear Terry say that he expects the president will not face a significant challenge. And it seems, despite all the other things that have been going on, seems a pretty comprehensive endorsement if you think about it.
Yeah, I was about to say it seems like an endorsement to me. Yeah, but we have about 4 minutes left, Curtis. I want to hear that the team started giving some predictions for the Champions League.
I'm hearing someone's audio in the background. Someone's having some fun. I'm not sure where it's kicking in from, but yes, Champions League.
Predictions.
For me, Bayern Munich, Barcelona. I'm not seeing a winner. I think those would be, for me, the two front runners at this stage. Taking the home and away out of it, though, it's going to be much more open for the teams like Lyon, who might not have had the legs, as PV said, to go over 180 minutes, possible extra time as well. But I think, based on who's left, for me, Munich and Barcelona, especially Messi now has not won it for quite a while, has something to prove. He always has something to prove, as you saw, not happy with the official in the last game and made his presence and his feelings known. But for me, at least, those two will be my favorites at this stage. Right? I'm sure Real Madrid out, but you must have a plan B now for this Champions League.
Yeah, no stakes in this one, but I think Barcelona said Messi was something to prove. I know that Ronaldo's out. Good opportunity to prove his worth.
And no Ballon d'Or up for grabs, though, but yeah, still the winner's medal. PB?
I don't know. I sweet on Bayern, man. I saw them play against Chelsea. As you know, Bayern would have completed the league a couple months ago, and they still look pretty sharp for a team that hasn't played competitively quite some time. I know Chelsea would have featured a number of younger players, less experienced players, but I mean, when you still have a Robert Lewandowski who can score in the storm, it's hard to stop it, man. I think over one game, Bayern has what it takes, man. I sweet on Bayern.
Paul, quickly, you don't think you got away?
I kind of lean in toward I think Bayern is going to be a handful.
Okay. Bayern as well. Kevin?
I see what. I don't get the definition.
Kevin is still on the fence.
Come on, Kevin. Man, you got to be brave. You got to be brave, man.
I'm a hard at heart. I get it then. I tend to think about when the team calls, who they put there and how the game starts. They can't really talk about before they get out, what's going to happen.
Okay.
Chelsea by him, I figured out one already because I was like, damn, the guy you want to talk to buy a rum, so basically, they're not going to take his money.
Kenneth?
Yeah.
Well, I see Man City getting through the semi final. I see Bayern shocking Barcelona because of their, you know,
that's not shocking.
There's a lot of pressure on the Barcelona coach, and still, Griezmann is still treated like the sore thumb. PSG versus Atalanta is going to be a toss-up, and I see Atletico squeezing past Leipzig, so it's going to be an impressive semi-final.
Final pick, President Harris. I don't know Chelsea in this one, but you
still... No, but I would say that any competition that Barcelona is in with Messi playing is going to be difficult. But I look forward to that clash more than anything else in the competition. That's my final for me.
Okay. There you have it. The thoughts of the panel on the Champions League. That's just about brought us to the final whistle on today's edition of Penalty Spot. It's been another action-packed show. I want to thank everyone who's been a part of it. Terry Seeley, President Harris, Kenneth Onikwe, Kevin as well from the Shins and Boots team. Don't forget, you can follow those guys on Instagram as well. Or resident author, Soraya Toppin-Herbert. We must have her back again. As per usual, Ronaldo, PB, Jilts, Paul Mears. Special thanks to Larry in the studio as well. This has been the Penalty Spot. You can join us same time next week, same station, as we take you back into the Penalty Spot.